It had DragonWorks logo stamped on the side, and also, "Fragile, handle with care," labels plastered all over. I signed for my mom. The crate wouldn't fit through the door without taking off the hinges, so the Freight Express guy and I trundled the crate on a dolly round back and set it on the porch. It would be safely in the shade come afternoon. Natalie had warned me that heat could really do a number on electronics. "Solid state can get solidly melted," was how she put it. As if I had conjured her with my thought, just then Natalie rode up. "What's cooking today?" For once, she was minus her backpack, so she didn't have a hammer handy. It didn't take too long to find Mom's toolbox, though. When you live with another person for as long as I have, you get to know how she thinks. Mom had left the toolbox by the shower as a reminder to tackle the dripping showerhead. Well, I could be handy too. Outside again, I took the claw end of the hammer and began prying at the lid of the crate. It was going to be an ordeal. Someone had sunk 4-inch nails in all the way around. "As if DragonWorks didn't want anything to get in," said Natalie. "As if they didn't want anything to get out," I joked. Finally, the last nail screeched out its surrender, sounding like 5 fingernails on a blackboard. It was the only time I'd shivered since getting to Arizona. Natalie began removing packing straw. It was real straw, not those little styrofoam peanuts. Pretty soon, she had uncovered the top of the furnace. I didn't know exactly what I was expecting to see, but wouldn't a furnace be shaped like a box? This was more like a tube, fat in the middle, like an overstuffed burrito. And it wasn't painted gray. It was green. Lime green. Had someone messed up the order? "Let's get the end off, then," I said. Natalie picked up the hammer. We got the front panel off. The green metal began to heat up in the sun. I reached in to grab more packing straw. Wait a minute. It moved. It couldn't have. I rubbed my eyes. It must be the heat. I started in on the straw again. But there. It moved again. It could be sunstroke. Mom was right. I should have worn a hat. It was not my imagination. The packing straw rustled. "Did you see that?" I whispered. "Yeah," Natalie whispered back. "It's moving." It was moving. Just a little, in rhythm, like a sleeping person's chest. Whatever was in there was alive. We both stepped backward. "What is it?" Natalie asked, goggle-eyed. "You look." "Uh-uh, not me. You do it. It's yours, whatever it is." Suddenly, the metal thing heaved and pitched forward. Natalie and I ran. We squeezed in behind a saguaro cactus. The thing shrugged off the rest of the straw, the way a dog shakes off water, then opened its mouth and yawned. Its mouth was filled with pointed teeth. "What is it?" Natalie asked again. We could now see the creature clearly. Its eyes were ruby red, maybe 10 times as large as a cat's, topped with long, spiky eyelashes. It wore dangly fire opal earrings. Although it was the size of a large dog, it was shaped more like a fat cigar, with a tail as long as its body, ending in a wicked-looking barb. On its back were what looked like black umbrellas, but these now unfurled into small but serviceable wings, as though whatever it was stretched. It also had shimmery green scales the size of cucumber slices. The creature stretched like Fat Boy after a long nap, first arching its back up, then down. It's not a furnace," I said finally.
"Well, no," conceded the creature in a low, raspy voice. "But you did order a replacement dragon.